And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me is Matt Smith. In this special episode of the Coaching Corner with Matt Smith, Matt discusses the players that have joined Fulham, along with some that have gone. As always, this is from a coaching perspective. We have plenty to discuss, but before we get going, I have to welcome back my co-host to the show, Mr. Smith. Matt, how you doing?
Doing well, Russ. It's been a while. It's been a long, hot summer down here in South Carolina, and ready and excited to talk Fulham again. And, you know, the crazy season has definitely been exactly that for us, so looking forward to talking about it.
Absolutely, my friend. Listen, there's a good amount of transfer speculation. We'll be talking about one player in particular at the very end of the show. But what I thought I would do, and I contacted you last week, that you know what, let's do another show. We should do a show talking about the players that have arrived, get your thoughts on them from a coaching perspective, and also the ones that have left. And just to think about the mindset of a coach when these players come in and when they leave, you know, what goes through someone like Slavica Jokanović. So let's get going. Let's start with player arrivals, and this is technically a signing because he was on loan with us at the end of last season, but it is a signing. So I want you to share your thoughts. Let's start with Michael Maddle, center back. Again, I thought he was impressive in his short spell with us, but now he is officially a Fulham player. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think, you know, we talked about this in the last show we did, which seems like forever ago, but it was probably just, you know, just almost 2 months ago. But I think it's a great signing. I think it's something that, you know, something that was very, very important to us to really start to you know, to get him in full time and how well he played when he was on loan with us and the energy that he brought and kind of some of the, honestly, some of the stability he brought to the back. So, you know, I definitely think he's a big signing. He was a, you know, obviously no signing is a gimme, but I think that he was one that was definitely probably one of the easier ones to sign and definitely one of the ones that made the most sense.
Well, let me ask you this, because again, we're going to be going through all the signings and see how they all fit. This is just my opinion. He fits right off the bat. He's one of your center back two or potentially three if you go to three at the back. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think that was clear with Slavica signing him so early in the transfer period. I think that was definitely – that was no accident. The fact that he – you know, I'm sure he has a – with him and with his backroom staff, just like with me and my staff with recruiting, we really have a very in-depth list of what our priorities are in the offseason and what we need to sign first and what we need to – you know, and basically kind of list them in order of priority. And so clearly, you know – you know, I think that everybody can agree, everybody who was able to watch or even listen, honestly, to the season last year would be able to tell you that we've got to solidify the defense and we've got to solidify, honestly, some leadership back there, because I'm not sure that we had really anybody that was willing to – not necessarily willing to, but was able to take the reins of the group and really be able to – try to communicate what Slavica was trying to get across to the defense. And I think Michael Maddle did that. I think that may be something that he did even more that maybe people don't really see, you know, on paper, is the fact that he's, you know, Slavica brought him in on loan. So he is Slavica's guy. He's probably able to communicate what Slavica is trying to get the defenders to do. You know, maybe, you know, just, you know, maybe to reinforce what he wants. And, you know, whereas when you have a bunch of defenders who are really from the other regime, you know, it can be quite confusing. So to have somebody there that is on the field with you and can kind of communicate things, you know, I think it can really go a long way. And that's something that a lot of people probably, you know, obviously it doesn't show up in the stat sheet. You know, it doesn't show up in the headlines anywhere because it's not a sexy headline. You know, Maddle communicates well. You know, it's not a very sexy headline. So, but, you know, I think that's something that he probably did. And I think we saw that we were starting to get the hang of what we wanted to do defensively towards the end of the year.
I totally agree with that. And I'll throw another word in there because you were talking about leadership, communication, and I will also say confidence. Confidence is very key. When you watched him, you could just see the confidence in his play. And I think that is very important as we try to build this defense that was so poor last season. I think this is a very significant signing. We know what we're going to get. We think we know. I shouldn't say we know 100%, but I think we know what we're going to get with Michael Maddle, so I think that was a quality signing. Now let's move to another signing. One of the things that we complained so much in the last season on Cottage Talk was the lack of pace. Lack of pace. We don't have any wing play, lack of pace. That was a constant theme. So now we're going to talk about Floyd Ayite. And I'm going to read a short biography that's on the phone website and also some information to you from WhoScored.com to try to paint a picture for you, Matt, and then I'll get your thoughts on Floyd Ayite. Let's start here. This is from the biography on the phone website. On the 1st of July 2016, the club announced the arrival of our second summer signing, Togo International Floyd Ayite, a 27-year-old versatile attacking player. Ayite arrives from League One, Outfits SC Bastia, for an undisclosed fee on a 3-year deal with a club option for a further 12 months. French-born Ayite began his career at hometown club Bordeaux, during which time he took in loan spells at Angers and Nancy. A permanent transfer to Rennes came about the summer of 2011, and his form led to a move to Bastia 3 years later. In his 2 seasons at the club, he scored 16 times in just over 60 appearances prior to his switch to Craven Cottage. Now I'm going to switch and share with you some information from WhoScored.com that gives you his characteristics, Matt. Strengths, long shots, weaknesses, aerial duels, and finishing. Style play, likes to cut inside, gets fouled often, likes to dribble, likes to shoot from distance, commits fouls often. So that just tells you a little bit of what they think of him on WhoScored.com. I've also on a prior show, I read some glowing things coming from France about him. So with all that information, what are your thoughts about this signing of Floyd Ayite for Fulham?
Well, I tell you what the characteristics show me, even if you go to the last one, the fact that he commits some fouls, I think it shows that he's a very aggressive player, a player who likes to cut inside and loves to run at people and isn't afraid to have a go from distance, which is something that we definitely talked about, especially in the first half of the season.
That's right.
Something that we definitely needed. I think it's definitely it's going to be, and from coming from Ligue 1, and playing against playing against teams like PSG and Lille and Marseille and things like that, I think is going to bring a very, very good experience to the team, even though he's he's wise beyond his years, I guess we can say. I think that he's definitely going to be somebody to watch because he's going to be exciting, likes to get on the ball. I think what's a little troubling, though, is the fact that it lists as his strength shooting from range, but
yes,
his weakness is finishing. So, but it is those are two very different things, though. We talk about that a lot with players, that there is a difference between shooting and finishing. Shooting insinuates power. A little bit less placement, but it's more about just hitting a ball as hard as you can, whereas finishing is a little bit more the finesse game, a little bit more of kind of Ross's game. It's somebody that I think is definitely going to help, he's going to bring pace, he's going to bring energy, he's going to bring aggressiveness, and, he's definitely one that I'm rather excited about, and I've heard good things about him. I really haven't heard too many things negative about him, to be quite honest.
I haven't either, and Mike Gregg and Brendan Cronin saw him, and at Eldershot, and they've had nothing but good things to say about him so far. Again, these are friendlies, but they've been in both of them have good things to say about this player, so that's a positive, my friend. Let's now move on, because like I said, there seems to be a theme here of players with pace, and this next player I think fits the bill as well. This is Sone Aluko, and I'll read the biography to you on the Fulham website. On July 8th, 2016, Sone Aluko joined Fulham on a 2-year deal with a club option for an additional 12 months following the expiration of his contract at Hull City. A product of Birmingham City Youth Academy, Aluko took in loan spells at both Aberdeen and Blackpool while on the books of the Midlands club. A permanent switch to Aberdeen came about in 2008, and his form for the Don saw him sign for Scottishshire's Rangers in 2011 when he netted 12 times in 21 league games. I've seen a good amount of those goals on YouTube. They're actually pretty good. He moved back south of the border in the summer of 2012 when he joined Hull City, and he scored 8 goals in 23 matches as the Tigers won promotion to the Premier League, something he helped them do once again last season. Lucco also has an FA Cup runners-up medal after coming on as a sub in the extra-time defeat by Arsenal at Wembley in 2014. Now here's some information on Lucco from WhoScored.com, some characteristics of him. I'll just go here quickly. Strengths: passing, through balls, dribbling. Weaknesses: aerial duels, finishing. Style of play: likes to shoot from distance, gets fouled often, likes to dribble, likes to tackle. Now, Matt, we just talked about Floyd Ayite being aggressive and getting after it. Sonny Aluko sounds like a similar type of player. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. He sounds, almost a carbon copy. I mean, they're the same age. They have a lot of the similar attributes. I think what we're going to start to learn as we kind of go through these is what type of team Slavisa is looking to build. He's looking to play with a certain style of play, and he knows how to win in the championship. And so, I don't think there's a whole lot that we can do, before real games have been played, that we can really argue with, because Slavisa has won. He won promotion with Watford, and did it a very distinct way, and I see him doing a very similar way with us. So, it's another very exciting player with Premier League experience. I guess he doesn't have any Premier League experience, played with him in the Championship, but does have the FA Cup final, experience.
I believe
like
he did play with him. I'm sorry, Matt. I think he did play with him when they were back up in the Premier League as well.
Oh, did he? Okay. Well, that's even better. So, bringing that experience and getting somebody who's hungry to get back to that level, I think is something that's really important to add into the team. Because a lot of our players, there's several of our players who've never played in the Premier League. I think you could probably name them on, probably one hand from our, top 15, 16 players who's our main squad who have played in the Premier League. So, and arguably our best player, if you want to call him that, has never played in the Premier League. So, it's something that you definitely need, adds to more experience to be able to teach the younger players and to hopefully bring them along, because we are trying out some youngsters and to good effect and to bring in a player like this that loves to run at people and things like that. I think that's something that's great, because I think it's something in the Championship that's just different, right? So you in the Championship, there are a lot of grinding teams and there are a lot of a lot of different styles of play and to the Premier League. And you when you see something different, it's actually very difficult to defend week to week. So we may be a tough outfit to defend if we can use these to good effect.
Absolutely. And I think that's also part of what's going on here. He's looking for some type of player that actually – can really get after it and with pace to fit a style of play, I believe a pressing style of play, which is something that I'm looking forward to seeing. And I think that will also help the situation on defense, because I've heard Slavisa in interviews in the past, Matt, basically I'm paraphrasing here, but it sounds like he believes that the more you have the ball, the less that obviously the other team has, and that actually helps out your defense.
Right, and not only that, but if you have forwards that have a lot of energy and will run and tackle the ball and win the ball higher up the field, I mean, that's where you'd rather win it. You and I talk about that all the time. When we got ourselves in trouble this past season is when we would drop in and just let teams possess and build it up the field. But when we had success was when we pressed from the front and won the ball higher up the field to take more pressure off our back line.
Right. No, listen, I hear you, my friend. That's why – both of these signings, I've talked about this with Mike Gregg and some others. I just think that it's a sign that the Fulham are transitioning to a Slavisa Jokanovic-style team, a pressing team. And that's something that excites me, like what we've seen with Watford. I think he's building his version of what was going on at Watford, which to me is a good thing. I want to see that. And I think we're starting to see it slowly but surely with these new signings. Now let's transition. Let's go back and talk about the defense, because We've already talked about how bad it was last season, how we need to shore up the defense. Well, I think this is another player that could potentially help in that direction. Let's talk about Thomas Collis. I'll read his biography and then give you some information on whoscored.com. This is from the club. On Wednesday, July 13th, Fulham announced the signing of Thomas Collis on a season-long loan from the other club in Fulham. I will not say the C-word. Don't want to get David Holly upset at me. So just everyone knows what club we're talking about. A center back who can also operate on the right. Collis spent the previous 18 months on loan with Middlesbrough, playing 47 times as they reached the championship playoff final in 2014-2015 before winning promotion as runner-up behind Burnley last season. The 23-year-old began his career at his hometown club, Sigma Alamuk, joining the other club in Fulham for a reported £5.2 million in the summer of 2010. After two seasons on loan at Dutch outfit Vitesse, Armen, during which time he was named Czech Republic Young Player of the Year, he made his debut for his parent club in a 2-0 League Cup win at Arsenal in October 2013. His Premier League debut and first start at the other club of Fulham came at Anfield last season, with Callis impressing at the heart of the defense as the Blues won 2-0. Ahead of 2014-2015 season, he moved on loan to FC Cologne in Germany, but he joined Borough in a similar deal midway through the campaign. Having represented the Czech Republic at every youth level from under 17 to under 21, Collis also has a number of caps for a senior side, making his debut in November 2012 against local rival Slovakia. Real quick, some attributes, some information from whoscored.com. So we'll go right now to characteristics, strengths, holding onto the ball, ball interception. No apparent weaknesses, according to whoscored.com. Style play, likes to dribble, clears the ball out of defense often. Okay, Matt, there you go on Thomas Collis. What are your thoughts on this defender on loan with Fulham? Again, he can play right back, but he also plays, obviously, a good amount at center back. What are your thoughts here?
I see him as possibly a simple replacement for Dan Byrne more often than not. But I would say definitely an upgrade from, you know, if you're judging straight from his resume. As much as we hate to say it, the club down the road does very, very well with young players. From their under 21s all the way down to their youth sides who have won youth FA Cups in the past couple of years. They've done a very good job of really turning players into the finished product. And going to Middlesbrough on loan and helping them gain promotion and being a stalwart in that side and is going to bring great experience, to know how to win in this league. And I think that's what's very, very important, is that it's right now, unfortunately, at the club, as Slavisa comes in, what he sees is a culture of one that just can't get the balls to bounce their way to get a break here and there to help win games and to really grind out games when you need to and to get 3 points. And I think that he's going to be somebody who knows how to win in this league and knows what it takes to win in this league. And I think that's going to be, crucial to what we do this year and how we do this year. But to bring in another defender to really solidify things back there. And I think you've seen our defensive record in the friendlies so far has been quite good. Only giving up 2 goals to Real Betis, who's a solid La Liga side. And from what all accounts that I've heard are that we went toe to toe with them for a lot of the match. So I think that he's going to step in right away. I think you're going to see him on the team sheet more often than not. And really looking forward to seeing what he's going to bring. And I think Slavisa is really, like we said at the beginning, it's hard to argue with him because, he's building what he did at Watford, and Watford gained promotion. So it's hard to really argue with any of these signings until we actually see them on the field when the chips are down and the games matter. But obviously all signs are pointing in the upward trend. So I think he's going to bring a lot of experience and a lot of grit and just pure defender and somebody hopefully we can really build off of.
I totally agree with that, and I'm just going to share some information from a friend of mine. I do another podcast here in Boston, and this co-host of mine on a different show is a supporter of the other Coben Fulham, and he had nothing but very good things to say about Tomas Kalas. He wanted to point out to me that in the match with the other club of Fulham that they played a few seasons ago against Liverpool, Kalas played in this match. That was the match that Steven Gerrard fell down, and again Liverpool lost that match. And he apparently played very well against Luis Suarez. He wanted to point that out to me. So he's actually played against some very good opponents and fared well. And Matt, before we move on from him, I like the fact that, again, he played very well and was part of the Middlesbrough team last season.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's almost more important than some of his experiences in the Premier League, because it's all – I think everybody can agree that the Championship is a completely different animal from the Premier League. And so, you know, it's something that that can take players – some time to adjust to, and so there will be very little adjustment period for him, you know, coming off a very successful season last year.
I hear you, my friend. All right, let's move on. Let's stick with the defense. Let's now talk about a player that actually joined Fulham on July the 14th, and this is Dennis Odoi. There is no analysis really on WhoScored.com, so I'm just going to read his biography on the Fulham website and then get your thoughts on this. Here's some information about Dennis Odoi. Again, right from the Fulham website. On Thursday, July 14th, Fulham announced the signing of Dennis Odoi for an undisclosed fee from Lokeren. The 28-year-old fullback, who was comfortable on either side, arrived from Belgium's top-flight outfit Lokeren for an undisclosed fee on a 3-year deal with a club option for a further 12 months. Odoi began his career at Oud Heverlee Leuven before moving to Sint-Truiden in 2009. Belgium giants Anderlecht then signed him for a reported 1.3 million euros in 2011, and in each of his two seasons at the club, he won the Belgian Pro League while also representing Anderlecht in Europe. Odoi joined Lokeren in 2013, made 37 appearances in his debut campaign as they finished fifth in the league and won the Belgian Cup. That trophy win set up a UEFA Europa League qualifier against Hull City, whom they beat on away goals to progress to the group stages. He departs Lokeren having made 117 appearances for the club in 3 years. Odoi has represented his country at under 20 and under 21 level and was handed his Belgium debut in 2012 in an international friendly against Montenegro. And Matt, before I go to you, I just want to share with you some information from Mike Gregg, because Mike actually watched him in the Brighton match. Was very impressed. He stood out to him in that Brighton friendly as he believes he could be a fan favorite with his style of play. He's aggressive. He gets after it. He's relentless. I'm using that word, but that's kind of, I believe, where Mike was going on the way that he plays. And I actually watched the latest friendly, and I could see that as well, the one on Saturday. Definitely saw a little bit. I happened to catch some of that. And you could see that from Odoi. So what are your thoughts about this player? He, again, can play both fullback positions. He's right-footed, but can play on the left. He's apparently, what I've listened to in an interview, he's comfortable on the left. So what are your thoughts of this addition for Fulham?
Well, I mean, it could be a match made in heaven with the pace that he can bring on the left, and if Fredericks can stay healthy on the right. I think that would definitely see us play in either a 5-3-2 or a 4-4-2. You definitely probably wouldn't see a three back there. I think if he and Fredericks were to play, at the fullback position, because both of them like to bomb on and things like that. And I think it's just a part of the pattern. It's just part of the pattern that we're bringing in athleticism. We're bringing in aggressiveness. It's going to be a team that I think maybe part of the frustration with some of the fans over the past couple of years has been really the lack of aggressiveness and really the almost the timidness in some of our styles of play. And I think that you know, all you have to do is watch Slavisa on the sidelines and see how passionate and emotional he is, to be able to read into how he wants to play. And he wants the players to play with that same emotion and that same, you know, wearing your heart on your sleeve type thing. It seems like this is another player that's going to be exactly, you know, in that same vein. And I think that this is one that when I saw it initially, I was very, very excited about. Not only did it make way for a certain player that we'll talk about later to leave and please never come back, if possible, but also somebody, like you said, that could end up being a fan favorite just because of how hard he plays. Because I think at the end of the day, if as a coach your team plays aggressive and hard, you're not going to win every game. That's not going to happen. But as long as you do that in every game, you're going to give yourself a great chance to be in every game. You know, maybe you won't win every game, but you're going to be in every game. You know, you're not going to see, you're not going to see the big score lines that sometimes, you know, the 2 and 3 and 4 goal score lines that we saw last year, because you know you have players that are just going to get after it and aren't going to take that and just aren't going to accept any of that stuff. And I think that that's a big part of again changing the culture back to a confident one and an aggressive one.
See, I'm there with you, and I'm going to go right back to real quickly, because while you were talking about it, I was just thinking about this, and we've talked about this before. In all kinds of sports, teams that take on the personality of their head coach manager, I think what's going on here is Slavisa and everyone behind the scenes at Fulmer trying to find players that fit the personality of the head coach and the play in his style and in his mindset. So as we go through all these signings, that's what keeps coming through with me here, Matt. You know, that's what's great that I could do this with you, because I'm trying to get into the mind of yours and also in the mind of Slavisa's, because I've seen it several times. Again, we could talk about how Fulham played under Kitt, how they played under McGath. I am a believer that a team does take on the personality of the person in charge. Would you agree with that, that he's trying to find players, the team is trying to find players to match his personality?
I think that's exactly what it is. I think that, you know, just a quick example, you know, I had when I first got here to my program, and this is probably 6 years ago now, when I was recruiting players and they would come in and play right away, some of the other players would look at that and say, oh, he's playing favorites. You know, he just likes them more than me. And that's honestly a little bit true in the female game. It's such a social game, but I think it is also
right.
Very similar in the men's game, where, you know, coaches can play favorites. So I got to the point where I was like, you know what, guys, I do play favorites. I play my favorite players. Here's what my favorite player is. Here's the description of what my favorite player is. It's one who is fit. It's one who is aggressive. It's one who is not afraid to make mistakes, who's not afraid of failure, who's not afraid of success as well, and is willing to put everything they have into everything they do, training, playing, you know, lifestyle, everything like that. And so, yeah, so if you want to call that me playing my favorites, then, yeah, I am playing favorites. But here's how you can be my favorite. You know, you make sure to map that out very clearly that it's you know, obviously I'm not getting paid as much as Slavisa is, but it's I kind of put it as I'm way too competitive to care about on game day personal relationships with players. It's all about, do they fit what you want to do? Do they fit your personality? Because you're exactly right. The team does take on the personality as the head coach, and I think that's only natural, right? Because especially in a day and age where generally speaking, you get to basically go handpick your players, you're going to go handpick players that play the way you want. And that's just kind of a natural thing.
Right. And, you know, again, that's what I see so different. Nothing against Kitt. Kitt had a style. McGath had a style. Every manager has their style. And you want to see if the message is getting across. And what's interesting is, you know, hearing from people that have been watching them in preseason, Matt, everyone's talking. They're all talking. They're all being aggressive. And they're all, again, this is this is just preseason. We have to see it when it, you know, when it becomes league games. But they're all seem to be on the same page, and they're all seem to be helping each other out. But another trait seems to be aggressiveness, and I truly believe it's coming from the head coach getting his message across and buying in. If they all buy in, well, then we might be on to something. They all have to buy in. And that's what has encouraged me the most is that, again, preseason, it seems based on what I've been listening to, what I watch myself, what others have told me that they've seen, so far they are buying into the pressing style of Slavica Jukanovic, and that is his mindset. So far, so good. Let's now transition. Let's move on. This one's going to be interesting. We're going to be talking about a player that if you talk to the supporters of the team that he came from, they didn't have many good things to say about him. So that makes this interesting. But of course, the player that went in the other direction, many Fulham supporters didn't have many nice things to say. We'll be talking about that player a little bit later. But let's now talk about Scott Malone. I'm going to share again his biography quickly on the Fulham website and some information from whoscored.com. This is from the biography. On July 19th, Fulham announced the signing of left-back Scott Malone from Cardiff, which saw Jazz Richards move in the opposite direction. He joined Fulham on a two-year deal with a club option for an additional 12 months. Malone started his professional career at Wolverhampton Wanderers, enjoying loan spells with Hungarian outfit Újpest of Budapest, Southend United, Burton, Albion, and AFC Bournemouth before moving permanently to Dean Court in January 2012. He scored 5 goals in 32 league appearances during his time on the South Coast. He made the switch to Millwall that summer and was voted player of the season, a runner-up in 2013-2014, as he helped the Lions to safety in the Sky Bet Championship. In January 2015, he signed for Cardiff on a 2.5-year deal, making 54 league appearances for the Bluebirds, the first of which was against Fulham. The former England youth international Malone made 6 appearances for the under-19 team. Characteristics now from whoscored.com. Let's go here. Strengths, dribbling, weaknesses, holding on to the ball, and tackling. Scott Malone style play, playing the ball off the ground often, likes to dribble, likes to play long balls, does not dive into tackles. All right, Matt, that is just some information on Scott Malone. Your thoughts?
Well, I think it's a win for us considering what the outgoing and ingoing was. I see him as probably giving us depth to that position. I think that Adoee will most likely win that role. So I could see him basically just providing cover. What you may see with this is you may see Tim Ream slide to more of a center back position, more permanently. I wasn't able to see, because he was the, correct me if I'm wrong, but he was the one who caused the penalty.
He did.
I haven't been able to see the tackle, so I don't know how egregious it was, but it was a little bit troubling because it's another back who gives away fouls in the box, and we all know that we've had some of those in the past couple of years. So, I think it's okay. I think if that's what it took to basically get to where we are, and we'll get to that in a little bit later. I think it's a good switch. Obviously, like for like.
Right.
I would expect him to to feature in too many of the big matches, but I think somebody that can provide depth, and obviously we all know it's a very long season with a lot of games slammed in, and you need depth and you need experience, and he definitely has that. So, why he doesn't maybe fit Maybe he's not as pacey as some of the other ones. Obviously certain games dictate certain things, and if he comes in and plays well, maybe it would allow us to move, Adoee a little bit further forward. Maybe it would allow us to move Ryan Fredericks further forward and play him on the left or something like that. So, it's all about options, and coaches need and want options, and to bring in just another player who. When all these players meet with Slavica before they sign, I'm sure, he talks about what he wants out of them and really tries to get a feel for, are they going to buy in or are they not? Obviously this is a player he felt like he was going to be able to, that was going to buy in. And, you need players everywhere. You need players you know, at every position. You need players on the bench. You need players in the locker room, on the training field, that are going to buy in. Just so his rhetoric gets repeated over and over again, and really gets reinforced. So, I wouldn't see a whole lot from him, but you never know. I mean, you know, if he steps up and plays well, then we could see him kind of platooning, playing in and out every three or four games and getting some minutes. So, but he's going to give us depth and hopefully some quality off the bench.
Right, and that's what I see this signing. And it's funny because not every signing is going to be a bona fide starter, Matt. And if you want to judge Fulham signings, you have to factor that in. Not every, you know, you need depth. You need players that can come off the bench or can fill in when maybe a player's injured. I think that this is this type of player in, you know, that we're getting in Scott Malone. Yes, he did cause the penalty. Yes, it might have people thinking of Jazz Richards, but Jazz Richards is now gone. We'll be talking about him in a little bit. So I'm willing to give a player a chance, regardless of what happened in this friendly. I'm willing to give a player a chance to see if a change of scenery overall can make a difference. But I just see this as just added depth. That's where I see it. It's obviously where you see it as well, my friend. All right, let's move on. This one's going to be interesting. I really want your thoughts on this player because Fulham brought in another goalkeeper. They lost Andy Larnigan. He went to actually Wolverhampton Wanderers earlier in the transfer window, so we need another goalkeeper. Well, they got one. So I'm going to read a little bit from his bio and some information from whoscored.com. This is from the bio on the Fulham website. On July 19th, Fulham announced the signing of David Button from Brentford for an undisclosed fee. The Bees' first-choice stopper agreed a 3-year deal at Craven Cottage with a club option for a further 12 months. After coming through the youth ranks at Tottenham Hotspur and taking in numerous loan spells, notably at Shrewsbury Town and Plymouth Argyle, Button signed permanently for Charlton Athletic in the summer of 2012 before moving across London to Brentford a year later. In his debut season, he played 45 times at our local rivals, finished second in League One to ensure they'd be playing second-tier football again for the first time in more than two decades. Only champions Wolverhampton Wanderers conceded fewer goals that term. The following campaign, things got even better for Button and his teammates as they exceeded all expectations to finish in a championship playoff spot, only to lose out to Middlesbrough over two legs. 27-year-old Button has been one of Brentford's most consistent performance during his time at Griffin Park, and he departs the club having made, get this, 141 appearances in just three seasons. Now here's some information from whoscored.com. There isn't a great deal, but I'm just share it with you. Characteristics, they don't have any strengths there. The only weakness it has is long passing. And it does say, just as it says, his style of play comes off his line often. All right, Matt, what are your thoughts about the signing of goalkeeper David Button?
Well, I would say he does come off his line often because he did get chipped from midfield against
he did
in the game. It's something that, you know, was probably a freak kind of goal. But this is one of the ones that I love the most. Number one, it is going to give Bettinelli a real legitimate challenge for the starting spot. And number two, out of spite, take him away from Brentford. It's kind of a win-win. I think that I will say, I don't think David Button is coming in to be the backup. I think that Slavisa sees him as the starter. I think that he has the experience, and he has championship playoff experience. He's older than older and more experienced than Bettinelli. Can he be a mentor and kind of bring Bettinelli along as he grows in age and experience. And but I truly think that that he's coming to be the starter. I think that there's, in my mind, I don't think there's really any doubt about that. We talked about, you and I talked about in the last show we did about how, Slavisa will probably be looking to bring in players at just about every, at least every level of positions, whether it's a back or two, a midfielder or two, a forward or two, so on and so forth. And that doesn't exclude goalkeeper. I think that it's very important to realize that does not exclude goalkeeper. And so I'm not surprised at all that we went out and tried to get a very good one and were able to. And I've actually been able to see him play live. We went over with some friends and saw the opening match last year at Brentford when we were away. And we're in that was in their unbelievably dilapidated stadium. But he played very, very well. Very well, commanded his box very well, communicated with his defenders very well, and I think that goes a long way in the fact that they didn't, you know, they don't concede, you know, a whole lot of goals, so I think that he's going to bring something that honestly that we don't have, and that's winning championship experience. We just don't have that, and goal, and so, if really you're bringing it in, it's a competition, and if Bettinelli beats him out, that means Bettinelli is going to be better. That's perfectly fine. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with competition. And I'm interested to see how Bettinelli handles this because Lonergan came in and was really a true mentor, you know, was really, really came in and really was there to be his backup. He was the number one. There really wasn't a whole lot of competition, at least not an open one going on. I think that this is an open one. I think this is the first time that Bettinelli and his, at least fully professional career, is going to have a legitimate threat to his position. And it'll be interesting to see how the young guy handles it because they could step up to the plate and be professional about it and work to get better and beat him out. Or he could shy away from it and not play well and feel the pressure. And yeah, that's stuff that a coach needs to know too.
Right. And what's interesting, Matt, and I'll just mention this to you, after we record this, I don't know if you had a chance to watch this yet, but I watched it about an hour ago before we were about to do the show. Interview with the goalkeepers coach for Fulham. He talks about the competition between these two goalkeepers. He also talks about the other goalkeepers as well. I highly recommend everyone going to the Fulham website and watching this video. It's interesting, but yes, Button was brought in to give Bettinelli competition and to fight for that position, to fight for that number one goalkeeper position. So, and as I'm paraphrasing, but the goalkeeper coach mentioned, competition is positive. It's good. It's good. It'll raise everyone's game. So I'm glad that David Button is with Fulham. All right, Matt, let's move on to the final signing so far. I'm going to tell you right now, he has not played at all for Fulham. No one has seen him play. He's actually just trained with Fulham so far. This is my favorite signing so far. Hands down, it might surprise some. This is my favorite signing because it has to do with the position he's filling, which I think has been desperately needed for a long time. We're talking about Kevin McDonald. So I'm going to actually read you his bio and then share with you some information from WhoScored.com that I want your thoughts on the signing of Kevin McDonald. Again, this is right from his biography on the Fulham website, Fulham side midfielder Kevin McDonald, from Wolverhampton Wanderers for an undisclosed fee on July 22nd. The 27-year-old midfielder joined Fulham on a 3-year deal with a club option for a further 12 months. Born in Scotland, McDonald started his career at Dundee. After coming through the youth ranks at Dundee, the Scotsman moved across the border to Burnley on a permanent deal in 2008. He managed 51 league appearances during his time at the club, as well as enjoying loan spells with Scunthorpe United and Notts County. In the summer of 2011, he joined Sheffield United, made 77 league appearances, and scored 5 goals during his time with the Blades. In 2013, he was sold to Wolves and helped his side to promotion from League One to the Championship in his first season at Molineux. His second season with Wolves saw them finish in an impressive 7th place, level on points with Ipswich Town, but his side just missed out on the playoffs in goal differential. McDonald has been one of Wolves' most consistent performers during his time there and brings his imposing presence to the heart of the Whites midfield, having made 120 appearances for Wolves in 3 seasons. Now I'll go to WhoScored.com telling you a little bit about Kevin McDonald last season. Just characteristics, I'm sorry, that they have for him. Strengths, passing, key passes, dribbling. Key passes and dribbling are strong. They rate very strong in passing. No weaknesses from WhoScored.com. Kevin McDonald's style play plays the ball off the ground often, likes to shoot from distance, likes to play long balls, gets fouled often. I do want to mention, Matt, before I go to you, that I am going to be doing another show with a Wolves supporter who wants to come on to talk about Kevin McDonald. We're going to be interviewing him on another show because he really wants Fulham supporters to know more about Kevin McDonald because he's watched them a great deal. So in the coming weeks, we will be actually doing a Kevin McDonald show, in case anyone's wondering. We'll be doing a show basically about him, and we will have someone on that actually has watched a great deal. So, Matt, I just mentioned this is my favorite signing. I want to get your thoughts on Kevin McDonald joining Fulham.
Well, I think this is the most exciting signing to me, just in terms of, again, like you said, the position he's going to fill, and, you know, our needs and things like that. I think that, you know, once we got all of these players in, they were really able to focus on this last really position and really finding the right guy. Because sometimes, you know, I said at the beginning, you know, when we signed Michael Maddow, that possibly the defense was the number one on the priority list. And defensive center midfielder could have been number two, but at the same time, that doesn't necessarily mean all the time that you're going to sign them first. You may say, okay, we need to pay more attention to who we sign to this. So it may take a little bit longer, but we need to make sure we look for the right one. And, you know, with what I think he's going to bring, you know, just experience-wise and ability-wise, more importantly, you know, somebody who loves to play the penetrating ball, who is good in possession, who's not afraid to drive out of the midfield with the ball when possible. You know, I think that I think it could be a match made in heaven, really. And so, you know, with the way that we're looking to play, you could end up seeing him get the ball with some decent space because we may end up at times. You may end up seeing us stretched out a little bit because I think our forwards are going to really defend and press from the front. And so usually when that happens, the space ends up because of players' abilities at that level to play good accurate long balls. The defenders still have to stay, you know, at a certain depth. And so really what it sees is it sees the midfield stretch. And so you may see him pick up passes with 20 yards of space. And I think, you know, he's the kind of player that if you give him that kind of time and space, he's going to be able to do some good things. So that'll be a really important thing to watch for, you know, as we get into the season.
I totally agree. And it's funny because, you know, we're going through all these signings and we're talking about pace, we're talking about defense, but I keep going back to the midfield. Specifically, a defensive midfielder. And, you know, I'm looking at WhoScored.com. You know, they list his appearances at defensive midfielder last season at 22. Then they had just, you know, as a center mid at 10. But again, he's going to be able to give cover to that back four or back five, whatever they decide, or back three, whatever they decide to do, whatever permutations of the defense that Slavica goes with. But I think, not only can he give cover, it's going to be his passing ability that excites me. And I think this player is going to be massive for us. And that's why this, to me, is my favorite signing, Matt. I think it's, you know, a little flown underneath the radar. We've talked about a need here, and I think they filled the need. And that's what when we look at all the signings, it's basically, this is what I've wanted for the longest time, fill all the holes. They don't always fill all the holes. Now, there are still holes to be filled that need to be filled. But they've filled so many of them on paper that, you know, that give me hope, my friend. Believe it or not, we only have a little less than 10 minutes to go, my friend, so we're going to have to step it up. But before we go through the departures, and we're going to have to do that fairly quickly, I want to go to you, and I want to talk about something you and I talked about off air. I want to get your thoughts about Slavica's interview with Sarah Brooks after the Brighton match. There's been good amount of talk on that. You've watched it. I've watched it. What did you make of his tonality, what he brought to the table when he talked to Sarah a little less than a week ago?
I think, Slavica has never been one to mince words. I think in the short time he's been here, he's always spoken his mind. And so, you know, I don't think that this was anything new for the administration at Fulham to hear. I don't think that they were caught off guard by this in any way. I think that they knew. I think he's probably made his needs and his wants clear And some can see it as kind of a shot across the bow of the administration to bring in more players. But, you know, I don't think this was anything that, you know, the chairman or anybody sits back and goes, whoa, I didn't even know he wanted more players. Of course they know he wants more players. I mean, these guys meet, if not daily, then three to four times a week to talk about players and what needs we need and what wants he wants. And things like that. So, you know, this time of year, they're probably meeting daily, if not twice a day. So, I'm sure that this has been said in one of those meetings. It's probably just maybe a touch of frustration that it's not going as fast as he would want it. Maybe he gets some help from the pressure that maybe the fans can put on it and get something done. So, but I didn't read too much into it, honestly. I've always thought that Slavisa really speaks his mind and really just kind of is very open and honest. Sarah Brooks asks the question and he gives a very honest answer. And I think you got to respect that.
Okay. Very good. And before we move on, because we're really going to have to go through fairly quickly the player departures, the one thing that I kept getting out of this, Matt, you're a coach. You have huge ambitions. I know you. You have huge ambitions. Well, I believe that so does Slavisa Jokanović. Do you think part of this is just about his ambitions?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, he wants to – just like every other coach, he wants to win the league now. He doesn't – you know, the rebuilding thing is for the back room. And he wants to win now. I mean, it's very much a quick-fire approach to where – you know, he wants to improve today and he wants to have his team today. And that's just natural. That's just natural for anybody who comes into a situation where they've been losing or not successful and things like that. To be able to turn the team around quickly, I think is very, very important. So yeah, it's definitely his ambitions and how fast he wants it to happen.
Okay. Very good, my friend. All right, let's move on. Let's go to player departures. We're going to do this in quick fire. You know, we're going to do this fairly quickly. We're going to go through these, because I'd like to see if we can end getting your thoughts about the Ross McCormack situation for a few minutes. So let's do this fairly quickly. Let's start with Dan Byrne and Sean Hutchinson.
Dan Byrne, no problem. Already had his replacement, probably an upgrade. Sean Hutchinson, absolutely no problem with that. Needed to move on. Time for pastures greener.
Okay, very good. Let's talk about two midfielders, Ben Pringle and Jamie O'Hara.
Ben Pringle, he can go. We'll see him early on in the season, but up at Preston, but really brought us nothing after about the first three or four games of the year. Jamie O'Hara, again, probably age factored into this, but after the first couple, after the first half of the season or whatever, a great first half he had, kind of faded off. I think that's some of his age. I also think that he may have had some personality clashes with the new regime, so no problem with him going.
Okay. Moussa Dembele.
Big loss, honestly. Obviously a big loss with the goals and the partnership he had with Ross. But something we knew was coming. So I would say in two words, no surprise.
Okay, very good. All right. Jazz Richards.
See ya.
Right to the point,
Flash,
my friend.
God.
Right to the point. See ya. I love it. See ya. Okay. Well, we're going to end with another one. I'm curious your thoughts on Fernando Amorebieta.
I've never been a big fan of his. I really haven't. And so that's another one that I'm completely fine with him going. I thought that he was – I think that what we're doing and really the way we're building the team just doesn't fit him very well. And so, you know, with him, I believe he's going back to Spain,
yep.
I believe. And that's fair enough. You know, it's – you know, that's his. He's gonna be more comfortable there, and I think that the pace of that league is gonna fit his style more than ours.
Okay, very good. All right, we did that fairly quickly, so we do have a few minutes to talk about Ross McCormack, his current situation. There's a good amount of speculation out there. Strong links right now. If you go on social media, you'll see to Norwich City. We'll have to see how this all plays out, Matt, but. Where do you fall on this? We are planning a show that we're going to be talking about. Should Fulham sell Ross McCormack? So I'm curious your thoughts on it. I actually did a poll, and 501 people voted in this poll, and the no was 54%, but the yes was actually, I believe, at 46% to sell him. So, you know, I thought it would be much higher not to sell him. So what are your thoughts about the whole situation with Ross McCormack?
From a coaching perspective, the vibe that I've gotten is that he's not incredibly interested in this style of play. You know, he's always been a little bit more methodical. He's not a great athlete, and I think everybody knows that. So, you know, I think somebody made a great point on Twitter about how, you know, Ross is going to struggle to keep up with this team with all the pace we have around him. And so he's going to be, you know, probably playing underneath the forward, you know, which is where he, you know, probably likes to play anyway. But, you know, it's going to be a much faster paced game, and I'm not sure that suits him very well. He doesn't seem, just the vibe that you get is that, you know, I understand he's injured now, and you can't, you know, I would never say that a player is faking an injury until it's proven, because I think it's probably one of the worst things that you can say about a player, a professional.
Sure.
You know, if he's not interested and he's not invested, then go. I don't care. And Sylvester strikes me as the kind of person that, regardless of ability level, regardless of how many goals you've scored for us in the past, that's all well and good. We didn't win in the past. You know, we've got to find a way to win games. And so if you're not bought into the way that we're going to try to win games, then you need to go. And we'll, you know, we'll be open and, you know, can listen to all offers. I think that a great example of that, and kind of in different circumstances, is the European Championship final. You know, a player like Ronaldo goes down, unfortunately, and you hate to see that because you always want to see the best players play in the biggest games. But I knew as soon as he went down, I said, this is going to galvanize this team. Not only that, but they're going to be much better defensively.
Right.
And they were. They were much better defensively, much more well-rounded as a team as compared to having one unbelievably high focal point. And they were more effective. And they became a better team without their best player on the field. And you see that. You see that a lot. You see sometimes when a team loses their best player, it actually galvanizes the team because it increases the role and the responsibility of other players who are great players in their own right. And with their clubs probably have similar roles to where they are the focal player like Nani or, you know, somebody like that. And
right.
So when he's actually able to step into that role truly step into that role, he's perfectly fine taking the baton and going on. And so I think that it could be a situation that if he does go, first of all, the cash windfall that we're going to get from him is probably going to be pretty significant. And number two, it could really galvanize the team and possibly get rid of somebody who doesn't buy in. I mean, that's something I had to do here is I had to kick a player off who was one of our best players my second year because she just wasn't buying into what we were doing.
Right.
And the immediate shock, we did take a slight step back because of the immediate shock, but it really made us move forward more, quicker. It made us move forward
right.
more quickly, and we were able to do the things that we wanted to do. So, if that's the situation is, and just from the outside looking in, and just the vibe and the body language that I see, and even saw towards the end of the year, last year with him on the field, it may not be for me as a manager. It may not be the worst thing. I mean, so you're telling me I get 12 million pounds to now go find a striker, a 12 million pound striker. Or a 10 million pound striker that's my striker? Yeah, I'll take. Okay, yeah, every day. So
okay, my
friend. To see what happens, and you know the goals will have to come from somewhere. But you can find pretty good strikers for less than 10 million pounds, which would keep us in the profit from the sale.
Okay, excellent, my friend. I'm sorry we have to run. Great take on Ross McCormack, and we'll be talking about that in a future episode of College Hype. But it's time to go. For Matt Smith, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, Matt. Thank
Cheers,
you.
Cheers, Russ.
Come out of the cupboard. your boys and girls, London calls.